Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Right Click. As always, Birdman here, and I am going to jump right into this one for the sole reason that I am so excited to talk about today's topic. It has been a long time since I've been able to talk about a game this good, and I'm dumbfounded. I truly mean that. There's a game that has come out recently from a French publisher, French developer, called Sandfall Interactive. The game's name is Clair Obscur Expedition 33. It's a French game. And it is utterly fantastic. Now, I want to say something real quick. It's not much for preamble or anything like that, but I feel like it's necessary to say this. In recent history, and if you go back and listen to old episodes, I've kind of gotten to the point where, as a general rule, I have a hard time suggesting that people spend their money on video games, on like AAA games like Ubisoft, Activision, etc. Because there's so much slop, there's so much bloat, you don't really get what you pay for. Obviously, the licensing thing that we've talked about in the past, where it's not really your copy. All of this is true, and I've gotten to the point now, if I'm being completely honest, that I really only suggest spending money on games if it's either your Game Pass subscription, because if you have an Xbox and or a PC, it is good value for money if you play games frequently and like to try other games. Or if it's a game that you always come back to and you buy things within that game. I have a couple of games that's how I am. I mentioned Black Myth Wukong at one point and how they were a group of passionate developers. They earned my money. And I'll be honest, I don't regret spending that money, but I don't really play that game. It is not my kind of game. Now, I gave it a fair shake. And I'll probably go back to it at some point. It's just not my kind of game. I just don't prefer a Dark Souls type game. However, the passion and the exquisite development was there. That's where we're talking at Clair Obscur Expedition 33. Just going to go ahead and show you. This is what the Steam page looks like. First things right off the bat is the reviews are all 40,000 views and they're rated at very positive. Now, this released April 24th. It has not been out long. But as of 2 days ago, I believe, it just hit 2 million copies sold. Before I go into the deep dive of this game, let's understand something. We have talked about the difference between players and copies sold. This is a big thing that Ubisoft has been doing. So we talked about Shadows. They were advertising that they had however many millions of players. And okay, fair enough. Yeah, word, fair enough. But what they weren't advertising was how many people bought the game. That's a very important distinction in today's Game Pass day and age. So many people have Game Pass now. And if you have a PC and have the PC Game Pass, which is cheaper and operates the same as the regular Game Pass does, for Xbox specifically, you get a lot of bang for your buck and it's like $10 a month. It's amazing. Now, if you want to cross between multiple Xboxes and PCs, you have to have the top-end one, and that's about $20 a month. I have that, and it is worth its weight in gold. My habits as a gamer, it works. Okay, this matters. Because as great as that is, big-time developers are using it as a reason and as an excuse not to mention sales numbers. Well, we have this many players. Okay, that is an important statistic to a degree. How many people actually cared enough to spend money on your game? And now these games are $70, approaching $80 a pop. Okay, back to Expedition 33. This game is being sold for $49.99. I have not paid $50 for a game in like 15 years. The deluxe version of the game is still less than modern AAA games. This is a huge freaking deal. This is. This game is enthralling. Let me give you a brief rundown of it. This is just kind of the quick and dirty explanation from the store page. Year by year, she erases us. Once a year, the Paintress wakes and paints upon her monolith. She paints her cursed number, and everyone at that age turns to smoke and fades away. Year by year, that number ticks down and more of us are erased. Tomorrow, she'll wake and paint 33, and tomorrow we depart on our final mission. Destroy the Paintress so she can never paint death again. We are Expedition 33. Clair Obscur Expedition 33 is a groundbreaking turn-based RPG with unique real-time mechanics, making battles more immersive and addictive than ever. Explore a fantasy world inspired by Belle Epoque France, in which you battle devastating enemies. Keep in mind, there's a lot of French that we're going to come and talk about here. I'm as Southern as it gets. Now, my accent has subsided over the years. I can't do French, so I'm going to butcher this. Fair warning. Here is the thing with this game. I'm going to let this kind of play in the background so you can kind of get a feel. What this is doing is showing the combat. This matters. Turn-based combat has been a thing for God knows how long. And I genuinely mean that. I grew up on Final Fantasy, and Final Fantasy has been around. I genuinely don't even know how long. They have been doing turn-based pretty much in every game except for, I think, 15 and 16. That's a lot of games over a couple decades. Turn-based has been a thing for years. Pokemon was that way. The reason I bring this up is that this is just a standard RPG, role-playing game, semi-linear, no mini-map, so you have to explore. Doesn't hold your hand. But what makes this unique is what you're seeing here. You can see little things flash, like, let's see, right there, where you see that X pop up, and it says, perfect. This matters because there's QuickTime events built into this game, where you have to hit the button to trigger an aspect of your attack. Or when it's the enemy's turn to attack, you can either dodge or parry or jump. And your timing has to be precise, so it's a little bit more of that ingrained feel to the game. Okay, that's awesome. It's a nice expansion of what you expect from a turn-based game. There's more to it here, and it's more enthralling. But also, the story is incredible. The story is absolutely incredible. And not only is the story incredible, the backstory of the developers is in... I have never seen anything like this. I want to read through this BBC article I'm about to show you. I am stunned by this. After this is over, after I read through this article... Specifically, after I read through this article, I'm going to tell you how much it cost to develop this game. And when we look at things like, in comparison, the most recent big name, Assassin's Creed Shadows, upwards of $350 million to create. Okay. Let's read this together, shall we? This is where things started to really pop off. This BBC article was a big deal. And really shine a lot of light on the scenario for the developers themselves. Clair Obscur, how a passion project became 2025's most talked about game. In 2020, at the height of the COVID pandemic, bear with me, Guillaume Broche, we're just going to go with Broche, was like millions of others around the world, quote-unquote, bored in their job and wanting to do something different. Working for French gaming giant Ubisoft, make note of that, at the time, he had an idea for his own project, a role-playing game inspired by one of his childhood favorites, the classic Japanese series Final Fantasy. As a lover of Final Fantasy, that was where I was already intrigued. That would become Clair Obscur Expedition 33, which 5 years later has become a sensation. It sold 1 million copies in just 3 days, topped Spotify viral charts with its soundtrack, and even won praise from French President Emmanuel Macron. But one of the most remarkable things about it is the story of how it was made, a tale of random Reddit messages, quote-unquote massive luck, and an unusual approach to game development. Expedition 33 is set in Lumiere, a fictional world overshadowed by a huge monolith bearing a glowing numeral on its face. Every year, an entity known as, the Paintress, emerges and lowers the number by one, causing everyone of that age to vanish. And the game follows a group on a quest to destroy the mysterious being. It's an intriguing setup for an epic tale, but the game's aesthetic, inspired by 19th century France, and its old-school turn-based battles also set it apart. But the conventional wisdom when Broche began was that players didn't want something like that. So 5 years ago, he started to recruit people for his passion project, firing out messages on Reddit and online forums to potential colleagues. One of those who responded was Jennifer Svedberg Yen, who was under lockdown in Australia at the time. She says, "I saw a post on Reddit by Broche asking for voice actors to record something for a free demo. I was like, I've never done that, and it sounds kind of cool, so I sent him an audition." Jennifer was originally cast as a major character in an early version of the game, but eventually switched to roles to become the team's lead writer. Broche eventually left Ubisoft and formed Sandfall Interactive to work on Clair Obscur full-time from its base in Montpellier, France. After securing funding from publisher Kepler Interactive, the core team grew to about 30 people. 30 people! That's amazing. 30 people. Many of them were found in a similar, unusual manner to Jennifer. Composer Lorien Testard, who had never worked on a video game before, was discovered via posts on music sharing website SoundCloud. I call this the Guillaume, I believe, effect. He's very good at finding really cool people, says Jennifer. Broche more modestly attributes his success rate to COVID, people looking for a creative outlet, and also, quote-unquote, massive luck. It's always the same story, he says. I have a list of 15 people to contact, and I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to get maybe no one at all. And every time the first one is like, yeah, let's do it. But Broche does admit that he targeted people who seemed to be, quote-unquote, in line with the direction he wanted to take the project. Lorien, when we discussed the game for the first time, we had exactly the same references, he said. We love the same thing. We watch the same things. The discussion was so fluid. Expedition 33 has been widely praised for its production values, rivaling those of games worked on by hundreds, even thousands of staff. And it makes sense for them to mention this, as a sidebar, because he came from Ubisoft, who's known for having thousands of staff and, what, like 10 studios or something like that around the world, or 10 locations for their studio. Moving on, Broche attributes some of this to recent advances in tools used to make games, which allowed the team to work more efficiently. Having the backing of Kepler allowed the studio to attract actors, including Daredevil's Charlie Cox, Lord of the Rings star Andy Serkis, and video game actors Jennifer English and Ben Starr. Understand that these are huge names. If these aren't names that you recall, please look them up. Daredevil is a fantastic series, and Charlie Cox is a fantastic actor, and he's the voice of the main character. Amazing. And while Sandfall did call on extra input from support studios, musicians, and other specialists, Jennifer and Broche said the core team ended up wearing a lot of different hats. And so we all pitch in and do different parts, things that may be outside of our traditional role, says Jennifer, who was also in charge of translating the game into different languages. We have, I think, an amazing team, mostly of junior people, but they're so incredibly invested in the project and talented. Somehow it worked, which still makes no sense to me after all these years. You gotta admit, that is a heck of a story. I mean, it really is. Led by a former bored Ubisoft dev, team was almost made up entirely of junior developers, the writer was found off of Reddit, the composer was found off of SoundCloud, having no real clout. And here's what I love most about this. Kepler Interactive, the publisher, funded them to make this game go big. The funding totals or the cost of development totals for this game around $50 million. $50 million. This thing has outsold practically every AAA game that's come out in the last year. I'm stunned by this. It's just some dudes and some chicks that just decided to get together and do this. And what amazes me is that this is the epitome, the true, honest to God epitome of passionate development. I have talked passionate development ad nauseum on this channel. Ad nauseum. This is passionate development. They had an idea. They found ways to make it work. And then I look at Reddit. And I see threads about it. And what's one of the top comments? Passionate devs are a win-win for all of us, especially when they respect our hard-earned money. Just because of that, I'm looking forward for their future games. You're going to tell me that this doesn't work? This is not full of slop. This is not full of woke whatever. It's not full. It doesn't have any themes, at least so far as I'm in and what I've heard. It doesn't have any garbage in it. It has no BS in it. I'm stunned by it. People are even finally, on a large public scale, noticing that passionate development leads to good things for us. This has been I just finished Act 1 of the game last night. It's one of those games that the storyline is so enthralling that my wife sat there and watched me play it. It's a fascinating game. Bear with me, I'm stuffed up. I'm not crying, I promise. I'm just congested. Thank you, allergies. This game has exceeded expectations. And here's something even crazier. They posted this yesterday, May 7th. Our soundtrack is connecting far beyond what we ever imagined. Number one on Billboard's Classical Album Chart and Classical Crossover Album Chart. 13 on the Official Soundtrack Album Chart. 31 on the Official Album Download Chart. Over 18 million streams since launch. 18 million. This is the original soundtrack. I want you to notice something. Right here. 154 songs. This very green to this industry individual got this woman, Alice Duport-Percier, to be the lead vocalist, female vocalist, and they went and together created 154 songs for this game. New songs for each act of the game as well. 154 songs. I first started to think about this. I didn't care anything about the numbers, statistics, the streams, the creation of it. What I found was that in the first half hour to 45 minutes of playing the game, I kept stopping without even realizing I was doing it and just listening, because the score, especially in relation to the where you're at in the game at any given time, is so appropriate and accurate to the emotions being conveyed. And I found myself just in awe, like listening to the menu music, listening to the camp music. It's unbelievable. And not only is it unbelievable, it's a testament to people who cared, like genuinely cared, who wanted to see this thing succeed, that were given an opportunity and wouldn't let it go to waste. I mean, as of 2 days ago, they said they've sold over 2 million copies. Well, if it's selling at $50 a pop, obviously not all of this is going to net. But $2 million times 50, You understand what we're talking about here. That's incredible. Not many games are doing this. And then what led me down this path with the music ultimately led me to their YouTube channel. And here's just to add on something here. This is their official Sandfall Interactive YouTube channel. 80,000 subscribers. Get this. They recorded official music videos for the main, like, so the opening song is Alicia, and the song about the town Lumiere. I'll be honest with you. I started playing this game full swing about 5 days ago. Legitimately, and I'm not making this up. This is going to sound cheesy. I didn't really fall in love with this game until around day four. I appreciated it and was slowly building up just how amazed I was. I was sure that, like everything else that's come out lately, I reach, you know, 4 or 5 hours of game time, and I'm like, dude, this, I'm done. I'm bored. I was hesitant to let myself really enjoy it. But what I found was for about 4 days straight, I had this song stuck in my head, Lumiere, and found after that they did a freaking official music video for it. And obviously I can't play it for copyright's sake, but it's gorgeous. It is a beautiful piece. It's an orchestral piece. And they just did so well. They did so well. And I believe they're even doing like an orchestration. Yeah, they did a full orchestral session. I don't know if this is playing. I think I have this muted, so if it comes through, I apologize. They're doing full orchestral sessions. I'm stunned by it, man. I've never seen anything like this. And this game has just been succeeding and succeeding and succeeding as it absolutely should. If, I'm going to say this. If you have $50 to spend on a game, this is arguably where your money should go. And I know it sounds like I've just sat here and talked this game up and glazed this game. I'm only speaking to this degree because I myself can validate how genuinely enthralled I am with this game. Nobody formed this opinion for me, and it's been a long time since this industry has produced something of that kind of quality and of that kind of value. And this is worth spending the money on, without a doubt. I said this about Black Myth Wukong. I do not change my opinion on that. It's a fantastic game. I would argue that this game has even more of a potential to reach a widespread audience, because even if you don't like the difficult quick time events and the ways that it ups the ante, it is two settings that you can turn off and it just goes to a normal turn-based game, or you can scale the difficulty down. It is accessible for anybody. And not a lot of games are willing to do that. But also the core of the game, how it's designed to be played, does not hold your hand. It does not coddle you. I will tell you this, I have been playing Star Wars Outlaws and Assassin's Creed Shadows, and that's my biggest complaint. Is that those games, regardless of what your opinions are about the game, the companies, the developers, the message, whatever, we are in a stage in this industry of the Happy Meal gaming, whereas everything is dumbed down to a childlike level to hold your hand. There, it doesn't have to be this hard. We can dumb it down. Well, the game is designed that way. Games like Shadows were designed, you can get as pissy as you want, and my God, people have gotten pissy for me saying these things in the comments. Assassin's Creed Shadows is not a challenging game. Star Wars Outlaws is not a challenging game. There's a difference between hard and challenging. Those games do not challenge you. If you want to scale them up, they can just be hard. Dark Souls, Bloodborne, those, Elden Ring, those are perfect examples of challenging games that are hard. The difficulty of those games are very hard, but they challenge you in a way that most games don't. New things to learn, new things to do. It's not the same rinse and repeat. This game challenges you, but can also be scaled, not dumbed, down to a degree where it's accessible. That's what modern games, modern AAA games, modern AAA developers should be targeting. Not dumbing down games, but giving a full experience that can be scaled. Expedition 33 does it tremendously. I mean, tremendously. If you have $50 to spend, I suggest this game wholeheartedly in a way that I haven't suggested a game in years. Truly. Give it a shot, because this right here, this game is the perfect encapsulation of right click, of right side, of all the things that we talk about, all the passionate development we've talked about, all of the things that are wrong with this industry is perfectly encapsulated as a rectifying answer right here in this game. There's nothing more to say. Go give it a shot. Tell me what you think. Comment down below. Shoot us a message. Shoot us an email. We're on rightsidemedia.org. Hit us up, because this game is genuinely that important to the industry. This is not fancy talk. This is just the truth. End of discussion. Anyways, I'm leaving it at that. Thank you all for watching. My name is Birdman, and as always, it has been a pleasure. I'm glad we got to talk about some positive stuff, because there's been a lot of doom and gloom that we've been covering lately. And it wears on me. I hate talking about that. Albeit necessary, it's when stuff like this comes across, it makes me very happy to talk about. And this is worth talking about. So, thank you all for watching. Come back next time. Go reach out to us on rightsidemedia.org and check out all the other good stuff. But for now, Birdman here. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful day.